And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. And I am so excited to see in person Sue Register. She's the Volunteer Service Coordinator at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings, and we could not be more excited to hear what's going on. And I know there's always some good stuff going on. How have you been?
Been well.
So you survived this last year and a half. I'm sure it was kind of tough for your residents, tough for your staff. Let's talk about what COVID looked like when it, you obviously had a lockdown for a while, I would assume.
Yes, the lockdown was very long. In fact, it was too long. But it was well cared for. I mean, our nursing staff and our administration took over, and we had a quarantine wing. Things just moved really well. We didn't have a case until very late into the COVID situation. And these were asymptomatic ones that we had and quarantined immediately, and they didn't spread. And so we were really blessed for sure that we didn't have more problem than we did.
So. Because how many people live at the veterans home?
About 120.
And what is the age group of them?
They range in age right now between 40 and 90, so in a little over 90 maybe. I'm not sure what, there's one vet that might be a little over 90. So
that's pretty impressive that you had such a great response to COVID and really kept everybody safe.
The vets were very responsive on wearing masks and staying socially distanced. And, you know, we had the same things everybody else did with the marks on the floor and stuff like that. And but it was tough on them because, you know, like all of us, even though we probably wouldn't have gone out, now that we couldn't go out, it made it harder.
Absolutely. So that is one of the big things I know that you like to do is get people out and about and integrated into the communities where they are living. And that was something that you couldn't do.
And the hardest part was that some of our vets that were working through and striving to get back into the community all lost their jobs because they had to come back into the home or they had to, stay out because we didn't want anything coming back in. So they lost their jobs, and hopefully, and many of them are now striving to get back those jobs again. But it's been hard. It's hard on them because then they lost their income and their motivation a little bit to continue their progression.
Absolutely. And who can live at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings?
A resident has to be considered a veteran in the eyes of Minnesota, which is 181 days of active service. They also have to have a medical need. There's no financial requirements, but those are the two major things. They also have to be at least honorably discharged or other than dishonorably.
So. And do you have people that have been living there a long time? Some people maybe not so long. How does that work?
Yeah, we actually had one resident live there from the day it opened till he almost passed away, so 40 years there. But we have, I was just glancing at that the other day, and we have vets that have been there over 20 years, and we have vets that have been there just a few months. So it's really depends on why they're there and what their goals are.
And is that something that each individual has their own caseworker to help them, a social worker or somebody?
Yes, they do have their own social workers, and they also have their own care plan. So there's the three paths program, the FIRE. Those are the ones that are coming in, striving to get their feet back on the ground, get back out in the community. And then our water path, those are with chemical dependencies we're striving to get them back on the straight and narrow. And then our earth path, which are those that are, this is a safe place for them. They have their disabilities under control, but they just feel safe, and they don't feel like they could make it back out in the public. So we have all types of vets there, And so it's kind of like a microcosm of the whole world just in one little situation there.
And what's the ratio of women vets versus men vets?
Well, we have one woman vet, and she's been there as long as I've been there, probably a little longer than that, but that's all. We only have the one. We can have many. They seem to be able to get back out in the community faster. They don't have, my always statement is they don't have to have their meals prepared for them.
And you can say that because you're a veteran yourself,
yes,
right? So,
yep.
So tell us about your military history, please.
I'm an Air Force veteran, served during the Vietnam era time, never was in Vietnam, but it was in Korea. Fixed the airplanes. I fixed the bombing and navigation systems on F-4s, 135s, 130s, a lot of different planes, and enjoyed the time there. Enjoyed being in, I loved my job. I didn't really care for the dorm life, and so that was a different thing. So I was in for 6 years.
Don't you really appreciate how veterans of today are more respected than certainly your time period? I can't imagine how awful that must have been.
It was definitely no fun coming back from overseas into San Francisco Airport at the end of my time there. And I am very thankful for the Vietnam vets who actually pushed this forward, and so that they would, that all vets would be respected now, because they're the ones that were really shunned. Literally shunned.
And that can have a lasting effect on a person. I'm sure you see that in some of the vets that you work with.
Yep. PTSD is not just the vets I work with, but at the home, but also the volunteers that come in, and I hear their stories and stuff like that, and the situations that they went through, and the pain that they're still going through is just totally, you know, just it's just hard to imagine that people would be put through that by another human being.
So unnecessary.
Definitely that.
So you mentioned volunteers. Is that something that you are interested in talking about? Do you have a need?
Yeah, we always can have volunteers. We like our local volunteers because in an emergency, I can call them up if someone doesn't show up. And we have different things. We're different than the other veterans' homes because we're not a skilled nursing facility, so we don't have need for people to push wheelchairs around to different activities. What we like is people that'll sit and play cards with them, chat with them, come and just have a meal with them, and just be a friend. They need friends more than about anything else.
And how can people find out more about the different volunteer opportunities?
They can give me a call. My phone number is 651-539-2442. And if I answer that, you'll be very lucky. So, but it does give my cell phone number on that answering thing. And then you can call me there. So, but we do have several good local volunteers. You do go through a background check. If you're going to be a regular volunteer, a background check, fingerprinting. But it doesn't cost you anything except for your time, which, of course, in my mind, is your most valuable thing that you have.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you have a lot of veterans that volunteer, too.
Yes, we have veterans. Our little AmVets group goes out and volunteers in the community. They've kind of adopted the St. John the Baptist School in Vermilion, so they go out there and they do flag raisings for them, show them how to fold a flag, and it's been very well received, and our vets just love to go out there and answer the kids' questions, so it's fun.
And it really is such a wonderful benefit for the school and for the kids, because those are things that aren't taught anymore, how to fold a flag or what is the protocol for having your flags raised or half staff.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I bet that is really fun.
Yeah, they've really enjoyed that, and it's good for them. It makes them more proud of their military service, so that's good.
So you mentioned the AmVets program. Tell me a little bit more about what are some of the other things that you're doing.
Well, the AmVets this year, again, just like last year, are going to be doing a flag display during and over Flag Day, which is Flag Day is June 14th, and this year it's on a Monday. So they'll be setting up the flags on June 11th, and last year we set up 100 of them, and it was well received. We had people honking and waving and actually bringing over sandwiches and pop to the vets that were sitting out there, so it was really a good thing, especially during that time when everything was going crazy. So we'll be setting up those flags, and hopefully more this year than 100. They will be on display the 12th and the 13th and the 14th. And then along with the Dakota County Elks, they will be doing their Flag Day program at 7 o'clock on the 14th, and then after that we'll take the flags down. So the Dakota County Elks and all Elks, they part of their mandate is they have to do a Flag Day program. And they've always done it inside the veterans' home, but nobody else was ever around. And so moving it out into this open, hopefully we'll have good weather, has given us a little bit more visibility along with the AMVETs. And the AMVETs love it because they get to be part of that program. So they'll be carrying the patriotic and the historic flags through the program, as well as doing the thing. They're also doing it for kind of a fundraiser of such, because if you want to have your name or a name of a person that you want to memorialize or honor, they don't have to be dead, you can come out and give a little donation, and we don't care what that is, and we can write up the ticket, and then you can go put it on a flag out there. So it's just a way for you to honor someone. And also for that little AMVETS group, because they cannot do fundraising at the home. They have to still pay dues and stuff like that, and they do their community service. All that money goes right back out into the community and things.
So where is this display going to be?
It's going to be at 18th and Vermilion, which is the park right by Ardent Mills. And it's that whole corner there. You won't be able to miss it if you're going down the street. It's kind of a neat little display. They try to make the line straight, but the park is not very level, so it's up and down and stuff like that. But please come out and sit and chat with our vets. It's just a way of them giving back to the community too.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful display. I saw it last year, and if the flags all catch the wind at the same time, oh my gosh, that's so pretty.
It is. It was really nice, and it was so important to have it at that time of the year last year when flags were being burned all over the country, and this was just a nice way to use our First Amendment rights in a different way.
So this event is going to be June 11th, 12th, 13th, and then they'll be up through the 14th.
Yep.
So we can come out before the 11th then to the Veterans Home and give a donation. How will that work?
Well, I think they'll just do it right at the display.
Oh, okay. That's
so
easy.
They'll be setting them up on the 11th in the evening. And so they'll be up the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. So if they want to come out and do a donation or just come out and chat, any of those days would be great. And bring your lawn chairs for the 7 o'clock program on the 14th, because we aren't going to haul chairs out. So that then you can sit down and watch a wonderful flag display program by the Elks.
And what will that encompass?
Well, they have a program that tells all about the different historical flags, where they came from, when they did, when they were there, and also the fact, and then it's very, just a solemn thing, and with the Star Spangled Banner, the Pledge of Allegiance, and all the patriotic things that are involved. It only takes about 20 minutes at the most, and it's just a nice way to remember our flag's history.
How is the woodworking shop? What's new there?
Oh, we have a CNC machine.
What does that mean, please?
That is a computer or something. I don't know what the initials mean, but computer's one of them.
Okay, C.
But anyway, it has engraving. It engraves now, and so they're learning. It's been a tough thing, but we have different volunteers coming in. One of the Elks is one of the volunteers for that group, and they come in and they're helping them learn the computer technology involved with that. And I'll have to bring you something over that they've made, because it's quite an interesting thing. And they're doing well. They're making different things, and it just helps them to get out of the rote flag case mentality. They do make beautiful flag cases.
They sure do, and I certainly have plenty of them around our house, and we've given them as gifts. They're one of the most just special places to buy a flag case. But you're saying they're doing other things?
Yep. And they do other things. But just for the flag cases, they have a new finish technique that they're using.
Oh.
So when you buy one now and you set it next to one of the other ones, you're going to say, oh, my goodness, that is gorgeous. So they have one of the vets did research and found a new way to finish those, and it's just like glass. So it's really beautiful.
Is this the CNC? No, what'd you call it?
CNC machine? No, it's just a hand rub thing that they're doing. It takes a little bit longer, and so some of them don't like the fact that they have to take a little longer, but Bob has done a wonderful job of learning a new technique, and it is gorgeous.
Well, you know, that's just a hidden gem that I don't think people know about. So explain how they can go about getting a flag for, you know, I can't think of a better gift for somebody that you, let's say somebody passes away and it's a relative and, you know, they were a veteran and so they get a flag when they pass away at the graveside. What a great gift for somebody.
It is. And this, these are not, and I don't want to put down any company's flag cases, but these are made by vets, mm-hmm. for vets, and they are very strong. They're solid oak. You can follow the grain of the wood grain all the way around in the bottom. They don't use scrap wood. And I have one that I use on some of my displays when I'm doing conventions, and I have thrown this thing in my car a million times, and this thing still is strong. It's still going. So, but it is beautiful, and it's, you can just call the home and ask for Jamie. Jamie is now in charge of the wood shop, and she will take care of you. I'm often the delivery person because I get around.
And glad you said it.
And so she can give them to me, and I can deliver them. I go a long way to deliver those flags, and especially if I'm at conventions and conferences. So,
and they're custom too.
Custom made, and they have the tag on them that says the person's name, and that's no extra cost. And it gives our veterans a skill, but it also gives them something that they are very proud of. So it's a great, great thing.
It is. So call Jamie at the Veterans Home if you have a need for one of these beautiful cases. Or I'm intrigued by some of the other things that they're making.
They do a lot of framing and matting. And so that's another thing. But they also make custom shelves I don't know how many people, well, American Legion 100th anniversary, they made all the display cases for that all the historical items were put in that those cases. So that was a nice little additional thing that they did. But they do a lot of strange things there. Different things.
You could maybe call and ask if they could make something.
Correct. And then they can give you a different ideas and stuff like that. You can come in too and talk to Jamie. She'll give you an appointment and come in. People can come in the home right now. They just have to be tested, temperature taken, and then they can come in and with a mask still.
Because you are a healthcare facility.
Correct. And we still have the mask mandate, which is fine with us because last year we didn't have one case of flu and didn't have any colds. And that is great.
That is great, especially when you're protecting vulnerable people,
yes,
with some health issues. Well, Sue, we're very excited about this flag display again this year. And it's going to be at the park next to the mill right on 18th and Vermilion. It's going to be set up on June 11th and then on display the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. And the 14th, there's going to be a nice program at 7 o'clock p.m. And all are invited, right?
Yes.
Please greet everybody at the Veterans Home, and thank you for all that you do. All these wonderful residents, and we love it when we get to meet them out in the world of Hastings. That's kind of fun. Sue Register, she is the Volunteer Services Coordinator at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings. And if you have any questions about something she talked about, you can call her direct at 651-539-2442. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.